Hello and welcome to episode 193 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, we do a little check-in to see how you're feeling post-Halloween holiday for those of you who celebrated. How did you navigate being in a weight loss phase while all the candy was around? If you're not feeling so good about that, we do a little check-in, try and help you shift your thoughts around that and move forward from that. So we touch base about that in the beginning, and then we talk about moderation, about building the skill of moderation. I share with you a challenge that we have been doing in my Fitter After 40 alumni group. That group's called the Aging Stronger Society. We have spent the month of October doing a moderation challenge. I'm going to share with you that challenge and tell you how you can participate in your own moderation challenge to help you build that skill. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, friend. As I'm recording this, it is the morning after Halloween. We had well over 100 trick-or-treaters last night. Believe it or not, that is actually a slow night for us. Our neighborhood is definitely growing up. I used to probably have double that amount. We don't have as many kiddos anymore. And I know a lot of people listening are like, 100? I had like 7 or none. So I know I'm still very blessed in this area. I love holidays. I love trick-or-treaters. I think it's super fun. I'm feeling a little bit melancholy about how my kids and all the other neighborhood kids are growing up. It's a little bit sad. How are you feeling the day after Halloween? Specifically, I'm wondering how you're feeling about how you navigated your nutrition these last few weeks as the Halloween fun peaked. If you woke up this morning feeling guilty, feeling uneasy, or feeling disappointed, let's take a minute and use this as a time to, one, reflect on this experience, and two, shift your thoughts. Success is not the only thing that you can learn from. When you have moments where you don't follow through with your goals, when you don't keep promises to yourself, you can use that information you gather to propel you in the direction of your goals. So spend a few minutes reflecting on the last week or so. What went well? Can you think of anything you did that was useful as it relates to your nutrition and exercise over this Halloween holiday? What specifically was it? How can you do that again next holiday? What specifically didn't go well? Can you identify specific hurdles? Looking back with the benefit of hindsight, what could you do differently next time to successfully navigate that hurdle? Write the answers to those questions down. Like, go back. Well, you can listen to the rest of this episode if you want, or you can pause it now. Go back, write those questions down, spend some time thinking about it now while it's fresh, and then write them down and use them for the upcoming holidays. If you're in the States, you have Thanksgiving coming up in just a few weeks. And then the Christmas season is right after for everyone else. I know some of you have already moved on to Christmas, right? These will be great opportunities to use what you learned that worked and what didn't work from this Halloween season. Okay, so that's the reflection piece. Now let's move on to shifting your thoughts. Wallowing in guilt, in shame, in disappointment today. Will that help you move in the direction of your goal, or is that going to hinder you? More often than not, behavior based on these feelings is not productive. So what can you do? Well, we learned from cognitive behavior theory that our thoughts drive our feelings and our feelings drive our behavior. Picture that in your mind like a little circle. Your thoughts, and then make it this a circle. Thoughts with an arrow to feelings with an arrow to behavior. So if you want to change how you're feeling and thus change your behavior, you can start by changing how you're thinking. I have taught a lot of people about this concept, and I know it's a wild thought that you can choose your thoughts. Of course, you have many, many, many thoughts all the time that you didn't pick, like they're just there. But, and this is the important thought, the important point, I'm saying the word thought so many times, this important point is you get to choose which thoughts you give attention to, which thoughts you entertain, even though many thoughts are going to be there. So the first step here is going to be paying attention and actually noticing the thoughts you're having. This concept of seeing your thoughts, watching your thoughts versus watching the world through your thoughts, this is called cognitive diffusion. And that's not a term you need to remember. You just need to understand this idea. It's not the thoughts themselves that are the problem. It's what you do with the thoughts. So when you notice a thought that is unhelpful, instead of either one, trying to get rid of it. So like, good luck with that. That comes back to that whole like, oh, try not to think of a purple elephant kind of trick, right? That's all you can think about. So if you're telling yourself like, you know, oh, dwelling on the, you know, the fact that I ate 17 Reese's like right last night, that's not helping me. So I'm going to forget about it. I'm not going to think about it. Like having that idea that you can just ignore a thought, it doesn't really work because we tend to then think about it more. But the good news is there's a way past it without just trying to not think about it. So instead of trying to ignore a thought, not think about it, or instead of buying into it, right? That's another option. We could fully believe, yes, I've like totally ruined all my hopes of weight loss because I ate 17 Reese's last night. There's another option. What if instead you observed that thought? You can imagine that thought coming and going like a leaf floating by on a river. Can you picture that in your mind right now? Picture a leaf. You're sitting by the bank of a river. A leaf comes, you see it floating towards you, and you see it floating away. Or another way to think about this, imagine you're laying on your back outside in the grass and you look up, you see a cloud floating into your line of view, and then you see it keep floating and going out the other side of your view. This is how you can observe your thoughts. You can notice it, you can see it coming in, and then you can let it pass by without either trying to ignore it, pretend it's not there, make it go away, or latching onto it. And you can say to yourself, ah, my brain is telling me I'm never going to be able to lose weight because I ate those 17 Reese cups last night. You can see it. You can be like, oh, this is what my brain is telling me. You can let it come and you can let it go. It's really important to remind yourself that thoughts are not facts. Just because you have a thought does not make it true. You can separate yourself from the thought, observe yourself having that thought, and then choose a more helpful thought. In this case, you could say like, okay, you know, I'm practicing eating Reese cup in moderation. There's going to be plenty of other chances to practice that. I'm going to practice that. Which is actually the actual topic for our podcast today. What I've just shared with you was just some thoughts I was having as I was thinking about what you might be thinking about this morning. So remember, your thoughts are not facts. You can observe these thoughts, you can let them come, and you can let them go. So let's dive in and talk about the idea of moderation. I know this is not a sexy topic, it's not exciting, but you know what is exciting? Reaching your goals. Does the idea of actually being able to eat like two cookies instead of a sleeve of cookies, that's pretty exciting, right? You know, being able to eat two Reese cups, three Reese cups instead of 17 Reese cups, that's pretty exciting. So I want to tell you about a challenge we have been doing in the month of October in my Fitter After 40 alumni membership. My alumni membership after Fitter After 40 is called the Aging Stronger Society. And in that group, we did a Halloween candy challenge. So everyone who wanted to participate chose a start date 2 to 3 weeks before Halloween, and then they bought a bag of their favorite fun size candies. I chose Snickers and Reese's. I modeled the challenge for the rest of the group. So I chose Snickers and Reese's. Then we all stored our candies in an out of sight spot. The spot I chose was inside my kitchen pantry. I have a kitchen pantry that's like right next to my fridge, but then I have a different kitchen pantry that's like across the kitchen and you open the door and go in. It's a bigger pantry. And I walked all the way to the back of that pantry. And then I put my Snickers and Reese's in a red Target, like reusable bag that you can't see through, and put them up on a high shelf and far back. So it's out of the way, which meant that I was not going to see Reese's and Snickers every time I opened my main pantry. Okay, I was going to have to actively go back and get them, reach up, take them out of that opaque bag. Then, and each of the ladies did this, they picked a spot that was going to be out of the way spot in an opaque container. And then the challenge was to have one piece of candy a day as part of a meal. So just one meal, just one piece of candy. And then we each had a tracker to keep track of whether we did it each day or whether we did not do it. And the goal was not an unbroken streak of days successful at just eating one piece of candy. Though that could happen, that was not the goal. The goal was to be successful as often as possible. You don't need to like 75 hard everything you do. You don't need to whole 30 everything you do to be successful at building new patterns. You can build consistency without having that rigidity of I must start over if I don't do it every day in a row. So both of those programs, like 75 hard, whole 30, if you miss a single day, you start over. You start back at day one. And that drives me absolutely mad because we never actually start over. So think about it like this. A challenge participant goes 5 days successfully. On the sixth day, she eats 3 Kit Kats instead of 1. Does that really mean that those 5 days where she successfully ate just 1 Kit Kat just poofed away? Of course not. Each of those days was an occasion to practice the skill of moderation. She showed herself that she could do it. She practiced putting candy with a meal and then putting that bag back away and sitting down to enjoy a meal with candy, which is something she may literally never have been successful at doing before. Did that just go away? Because on the sixth day, she ate 3 pieces. And even on that day where she, quote, messed up, she can still reflect and learn. Like I was talking about a little bit earlier, she could ask herself, what was different about today? What did I do on the other days? How was I feeling as I was getting more candy? Was I stressed? Was I worried? Was I upset? Was I tired? What could I do differently next time I'm feeling that way to navigate eating just one piece without eating more? She could ask herself, when I think back over this experience, is there anything else I noticed that I could use moving forward? What did I think after I ate the second of the 3 pieces instead of just 1? What did I think? Was that a helpful thought? What thought could I choose to entertain next time? Okay, so I stopped after 3 pieces. Why didn't I eat 4 pieces? What did I think or do after the 3rd piece that impacted me stopping? Like, what specifically did I think? Is this something I could do or think next time after the 1st piece that would be helpful? So even on days that you, quote, fail, you can learn and get better at the skill of moderation if you allow yourself to see it as part of the process and not like an unexpected and terrible event. Expect to not be perfect at moderation. Expect to be practicing. Expect to have these days where you're going to reflect on what you can do so that you do have that moderation. Now, I know that was a lot to digest. I want you to go back and really think about those questions I asked and write those down and keep them handy for the times where you don't actually eat the candy in moderation. Now, a word about deciding if this is a good time for you to try a challenge like this, if you're going to do something like this to practice moderation. Here's when I would say this is not the best time to practice that. And that is if you are in a fat loss phase already and are really in the thick of practicing behaviors to help you lose weight. So if you're really still working to increase your protein, like you haven't quite gotten that down yet, you're not really pre-logging yet. You're still trying to increase your steps. Like you haven't gotten to a level of steps. You know, you're not at that 7,500, 8,000 steps yet. And you're really still working on that. If you're really still practicing becoming a flexible thinker instead of an all or nothing thinker, if you're really still just learning the basics of lifting and how to schedule your workouts so you can be a person who consistently works out, if you're really still in the thick of navigating weekend overeating and nighttime overeating, I'd suggest waiting on a challenge like this candy challenge till another time. Okay. It's not that if you're losing weight, this is an appropriate time to practice. It absolutely is. But if you are already practicing a lot of other things that you don't have quite dialed in yet, for you, it might be a better match to practice moderation in smaller doses, like practice things like going out and getting one pack of Reese's cup from the gas station versus keeping a whole bag in the cupboard. That might be a bit much right now. Now, if you are somebody who's going to give this Halloween candy a challenge, you can adapt it to whatever is most relevant in your life. Maybe you don't have a hard time being moderate with candy. Like maybe you're like, candy doesn't interest me. I know for me, and some people find this hard to believe, I have 0% interest in chips of any kind, literally any kind. I could have bags of potato chips sitting in piles on my desk. I could have them literally all over my house. I would never have a single one. I would never open the pack. It would just 0% interest to me, which is not how I feel about cookies and candy. That is not how I feel about cookies and candy. So if you are like, yeah, same with me with Kit Kats and Reese's Cups, would just 0% interest, but chips, you know, if that's your thing, you could do a challenge like this with chips. You could do that with like 100 calorie packs of chips. That would be a great way to bring a bunch in and then try like once a day at lunch or once a day at dinner, having those 100 calorie packs of chips with your meal to help you practice having that moderation with chips. You could do this, excuse me, I'm going to all of a sudden yawn. Goodness. You could do this with Christmas cookies in December. I know that's a big one for a lot of people. They do the baking in December and they're like, well, now my house is filled with cookies. If you're a person, like I said, if you're still in the thick of navigating the early stages of a weight loss phase, you haven't quite gotten those things dialed in, this might not be the best bet for you. You might do better at waiting to bake your Christmas cookies to closer to Christmas. But if you are somebody who's a little bit more advanced in the area of weight loss, like you're already hitting your protein and you have some time under your belt hitting your calories, you just have more weight you want to lose, all of those ducks are kind of in a row. And you're like, this would actually be a great thing for me to do. Try it in December. Have a Christmas cookie per day with a meal. Give this a go. What I want you to remember is that moderation is a skill you can get better at. That is so key. Do you believe this? If not, what other areas of your life are you moderate in? Let's build up some evidence here that you can indeed practice moderation and that you do in many other areas of your life. Like, can you stop after just one or two drinks? Are you moderate with your finances? Like, you know, in reality, Gucci bags exist, but instead you buy a purse that's two or three figures, not four figures, right? Look for evidence that you can and do moderate other behaviors. Also, look to people who are like you, who used to struggle eating certain foods in moderation and who now have built that skill. I am one of those people. Remember when, you know, I know often people think of fitness professionals, and if you haven't been here in my orbit for a while, you might realize that I'm very different in the fact that I am not somebody who, like, I've always been fit and I've always been athletic and I've always had a great relationship with food. I am somebody who historically really struggled with moderation. I'm somebody who struggled with obesity. I'm somebody who was not athletic, all of those things. And so there was a time in my past that the behavior of moderation was not a skill that I had at all practiced. Like, I mightily struggled to keep pretzels in my house and eat them in moderation, to keep Lucky Charms in my house, to keep Pop-Tarts, specifically chocolate Pop-Tarts, in my house. So many foods that when they were here, I struggled to eat them in moderation. And for a time, I took all of those foods out while I was really working on losing weight. And then I was really working on my mindset around these foods. And then one at a time, I brought those foods back in and practiced eating them in moderation. And now I have those, like right now, I think we have three different kinds of pretzels in the house. Actually, some of them might even be stale. We had bought them for like my daughter's friend's party who was here. Like, and they're there and they have a little chip clip on it and I see them all the time. And I think I had pretzels maybe one day last week. They're just there all the time. And I have a bottle of Nutella. That was something I really struggled to be moderate with. Can't remember the last time I had any of that. So I can be one of those people for you. And there are other people in your life and you're like, okay, wait, they did it. That means that is evidence that I too can do it. You have got this, friend. You can absolutely become a person who eats candy, chips, cookies, all of those things in moderation. I so hope that this has been helpful for you and I will catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here. Hello, hello.
Oh, unmute. I thought I had.
I gotcha. How you
Good. Great.
doing?
So nice to
Awesome.
finally chat with you.
Yeah, I'm excited for our conversation today. How's your foot?
Yeah. It's just on my little outside toe and it's freaking sore, but that's okay.
Well,
You know
hopefully
when
that
you do
won't take
it?
too long. I know exactly what you mean. It's so bizarrely painful. Like it's just so annoying. I'm like, you're like this big. How can you ruin my life?
I know, and I was looking at it this morning, and it's because what it and I'm going, oh, okay, yeah, you're a bit bruised, you're a
Yeah.
bit bruised. And
Well,
I was
hopefully.
walking around yesterday, and I went, yeah, no, in my runners, and I'm going like, yeah, no,
Yeah.
you're not happy, but it's okay.
Not happy. Yeah, walking on it's not going to help right now. So
No, but I
you
thought I'd
can't
put it
cut.
out there. I don't
Yeah.
have an exercise bike. I think I must go and find somewhere here that I can just go for one-off gym stuff. A lot of them you've got to go for a subscription. But like it's summer. Well, it's not summer. It's like raining for like 2 days, and I'm so close to putting on the heater,
Oh,
which is
really? Oh, gosh.
great. I
Well, that's
know, but that's
crazy.
okay. But it's swimming time, so.
Well,
And
yeah,
I'm
swimming is
hope.
also a good one.
Yep, so I'll do that.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so in just a minute, we'll go ahead and start. Do you have any questions before we go?
No, I'm just going to hide myself you so I don't see myself. I just look
Oh,
at you.
totally fine. You can absolutely do that. All right, I'm going to pull up my questions here so I have those handy.
Great questions. Lots of reflection.
Awesome. I'm excited. Excited to do this. I think it's going to help
Oh, do you
a
know?
lot. What's that?
Sorry, do you have it in inches and pounds what my weight loss and changes have been? I've only got it in centimeters.
Oh.
I meant to get that.
Here, let's just quick do the conversion because I won't know. If you tell me what they are, hang on, let me look. Centimeters.
Yeah, and let me quickly do it too.
Well, if you're going to do it, great. Then you just tell me.
Yeah, let me do it.
I won't be able to pull that out of my hat. I can't do that math.
Oh, either can I. I'm just kind of going, but of course I've changed a million things. I've just finished up, sorry, it won't be too long. I finished up my study. And then so I'm having to convert, like move things off the University of Melbourne through, and I anyway. It's a whole painful long story,
Gosh.
which I won't bore you with too much. Okay, so 16.9 inches I lost.
Amazing.
16.9 inches, and it was 16.75 pounds. I was into the 16.
That's amazing. And do you know where you're at now?
What's great is that I've had a month of a lot of diversity and going away. I haven't done my measurements. I know I would have moved a little bit down, but I've lost a little bit more weight. But what I'm mostly excited about is that I haven't put it on.
Amazing.
Because I have been to weddings, I have had a couple of days, like I've had some weeks where I haven't been consistent for a lot of things. And I have to just say, I'm so excited. I think I'm more excited about that than anything else.
I love that. I love
Yeah.
that. All
So,
right.
and it's getting there. Cool.
All right. We'll pause for a second so I know where to cut this so they don't have our chit chat recorded, and we'll go from here.
Done. How are you feeling? Oh, sorry.
I'm
I've
no,
just
that's
stuffed
fine.
up the pausing.
I'm much better because I really limit my talking because I knew you and I were going to do this today. Like, I didn't do any talking on my Insta. I haven't talked on my Instagram since last week. Like, I'm trying to do posts that you're either minimal talking or no talking. The hardest thing for me is I didn't realize how much I talk to my dogs. Like, I talk to them all day long. Because even if I'm home alone, I'm like, I talk a lot. There's no one here. So I've had to stop because I really am not supposed to. It's only going to get better if I don't talk that much. And so, yeah, I save my voice for certain pockets of the day, and then I'm pretty good.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Felicity, hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
From all the way across the world.
I am. I'm in Canberra, Australia, which for some of those who may not know is actually the capital of Australia. So
Did not know that.
It's tiny in comparison. It's just over 400,000 people. And it's very similar in terms of the purpose as a city to Washington or Ottawa, is that it's purpose built for to be the seat of the federal government. And that's where the federal government sits. So yeah.
Well, we are going to especially enjoy this conversation because we all get to listen to your lovely accent. So before we jump into talking about fitness, let's get to know you a little bit as a person. So besides being from Canberra, Australia, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. So I'm 56, which will become important along the way. I love spending my time with my dog, Bruno, who I'm really hoping won't make an appearance today. Back in 2020, which I'll come back again, I'm sure, is I started a master's of applied positive psychology, which is the science of well-being. And my focus was all around about menopause, well-being through menopause. And so I finished that late last year. And then I did a bit more study this year in terms of how a menopause, like well-being experiences, pathways represented in menopause self-help books. And I finished that up and I'm still doing some research on that and continuing other research I want to do. But I'm also setting up menopause cafes here. I'm
Wait, say that
also
again. You're setting up menopause cafes?
Yeah,
menopause cafes. Tell us about that.
Menopause cafes is actually comes from the UK. There's this woman whose name I'm not going to remember, apologies, has set up menopause cafes where it's where women just host, usually in a cafe. A place where women and men and anyone can come and talk about their menopause experience. And that's all they do, is talk about it. There's no, it's not a presentation that can happen either side, but it's literally going, oh my God, I'm feeling like this, that, and the other. It's not a place or a cafe where you give advice saying you should try this. It's very much about just hearing and listening to the experiences of someone else and say, well, you know, and also going, oh my goodness, well, I found this works for me or worked for me when I was doing that.
I'm assuming this is coming out of your study that you've done that you see value in this. So tell me about that. Like, what is the big value? I mean, I can tell you what I would see valuable about that.
Yeah.
From an academic perspective, what is valuable about this kind of place?
It's that social connection element of it is really important. So from part of the research shows is that the more we have an ability to connect and be able to share our stories about menopause and actually, you know, I'm going to use a term which I don't necessarily like, but I can't find another one at the moment, but normalize it. Normalize our experiences. And I don't like the term normalize so much because each of our experiences is really unique for many different reasons. But research shows absolutely clearly that the more social support that a woman has about going through it, their experience can be eased. Their quality of life during the menopause is improved. That's just one of the elements. Such as it is like with the one limited study that I've been able to find so far, and there may be more that have been recently published, the more a woman's partner knows about menopause and they share their experiences, the better her experience is as well. So,
Wow.
So well, I love
this
it.
Is fantastic that you get to be, you know, kind of spearheading this in your home country of having these menopause cafes. That is not something that I've ever heard of in my local area. I don't know if that even exists in the United States. Are you aware?
I'm not, but the great thing is that it's got such a strong following in the UK that you could set it up in the US, you know, and it's basically, and like, it's got great guidelines. And I was setting it up myself anyway, and then I found out about it, and then I found out I could actually set up one of those under their umbrella here in Australia. So that's why I've done it. The show off
Fantastic.
the greatness.
For those who are in Australia or in the UK, we can drop in the show notes details about how to find a place like this. So you and I can talk about that offline, and we'll put that in the show notes. So, because I have plenty of listeners from those places.
Right.
Okay, so you're heavily in the menopause space. You live in Australia. You have this amazing dog. I feel like we've gotten to know a little bit about Felicity, the human being. And I do want to hear your story in terms of fitness from the beginning. Before we get there, though, let's just tell the listeners how far you've come. All right, so they kind of see where this story is heading. So you joined us for the fall round of Fitter After 40. So that started in September, went 8 weeks. Tell us the results that you achieved. Like, give us some raw numbers, but also tell us about other mindset shifts and lifestyle, those kinds of things as well.
Sure. So for the US and North American peeps, I lost 16.75 pounds or 7.6 kilos. And in terms of inches around in my body, 16.9 inches or just over 50 centimeters. And that's from various parts of my body.
Those
so
are
that was
incredible
amazing.
Numbers, like incredible. Like losing 16.75 pounds in 8 weeks is phenomenal. And we're going to come
really
back later
to
talk about how you did that.
Yeah. But I also really want to say to now, while I remember it, I didn't feel it. I just did the work. I did the program. So yeah. Which we will go into it. So I'm equally as surprised, by the way. I didn't think it.
And then tell us some more about other things you achieved outside of just the inches and the pounds, which is incredible. And a lot of people do come to me and join that program specifically for that. But what I so often find as what people are most excited about, what they're really proud about, is not necessarily those numbers.
Yeah. I loving the fact of gaining more of an understanding now about my, you know, just the food that really energizes me. I love the fact from, I'm going to go between food and physicality and mental. I love the fact that I can now get up from kneeling without needing to use my hands,
Oh, that is such
which
a
is
cool
a huge
thing.
one.
That is such an amazing thing. We take that for granted when we're younger, and it's not till people have gotten to a point where they're out of shape and they're like, wow, I can't do that. And we start looking into the future thinking like, I need to be able to get up from the ground as an older person. And it feels like it is such an accomplishment when you can build that strength to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a few injuries last year where I was in a moon boot for months and months, it felt like. And then I had a hip flexor. So, and that was all on that same side of the body. And so now to be able to do it, I'm so happy. I love the fact from a food perspective, just more mental clarity. And trust me, I still have a little bit of alcohol. I still have a bit of sweets and other things. But that's such a joy. I'm loving that. I had already started doing strength training before starting Fitter After 40. But I'm loving now that recognizing I can lift heavier than what I ever thought about. I have more strength. I love, you know, I'm loving the ability to gain an understanding through you about what's the right form. And that's brilliant. I never knew the importance about what protein has in my life. And now if I have a low protein day, Oh my God, I can feel it from an energy perspective. So much, so much.
Wow, you have
From a
really
mind.
come so far.
Yeah. I think the big one, and I know I shared this a bit in the Facebook group, but it was just my like the perfectionism trait. And what is that? And the academic in me has now gone into, and the researcher in me has now gone into reading more about what is perfection. But it's the thing of if I don't get my calories exactly right, if I don't get my, if I'm not, do everything exactly right, I'm not going to lose weight. That was where I was coming from, and I have to do it. And I was adding so much pressure and stress into it. And I'm here to tell everyone is that there is definitely proof in the pudding in terms of if you eat your pudding and if you don't do everything 100%, I look how much weight I lost, and I did it. And I that just gave me so much freedom. And trust me, I was still pretty consistent. I was still doing my everything that I needed to do as part of the program. But I lost it. So that blows my mind. And you guys kept saying that.
And that's definitely a point I want to come back to in a little bit, when we talk about like how you did this, but the idea of learning that you could eat these foods, you could have pudding and stuff, and you were incredibly consistent while doing that. And that's how you lost, over 16 pounds and 16 inches, right? And how you will be able then to transition to maintenance without having to totally revamp how you're eating, because we didn't take you to some crazy restrictive place. So very exciting. So tell us, give us some backstory about you in terms of your fitness, in terms of your weight. Is this been something that you struggled with most of your life or more newly in midlife? Give us some background there.
Okay. So I grew up in a family that was generally pretty active. But I was the youngest of five, and life was busy. We'd all go swimming. We all learned how to swim together. But in comparison with the other kids, my brothers and sisters, I wasn't the natural athlete, I felt, based in what it was. And did, just did stuff. But that was okay. We're always out doing things. But my preference was to, find a quiet place in the house and read a book for as long as I could escape from being, found to do chores. But unfortunately, our life took a little bit of a really, well, it took a huge sad turn, is that when I was 12, one of my brothers died unexpectedly. And that's when I really started emotionally eating. So, and then puberty hit, for the family, how to, I suppose really to survive that point in time was really, really hard. So I pretty well just started putting on weight all the way through, until I was kind of ended up being in my early 20s, similar weight to what I was when I started this program. And then what I did is, and I knew it. And if I look back now, I would have been depressed, but we didn't really talk about that at that time. Like, it wasn't really of that. Because what are we talking about? Early 90s. So my mum said something to me. My mum never said those sorts of things. Like, my mum goes, "I'm really worried." She was the sort of person who you could go and chat with, but was rarely one to give advice unless we explicitly asked her. So as a result of that, ended up going and seeing a dietitian, which was great. Generally, I ate really well, with the exception of my love of chocolate and probably too much. I am such a sweet tooth. So through that, lots of exercise, but it was mainly looking at portion and just doing lots of just walking and those sorts of things and swimming. And I lost the weight. So I would have gotten down to what I consider probably a healthy weight, which would be around about the one, what would it be? I'm 5 foot 3, maybe 140s, like, 140 pounds, or around about 64 or 65 kilos. So that's what I did. And then I kind of went, kept being really active for quite a while, up until, yoga, walking, swimming, lots of different things. And I even started jogging, which made me laugh. I never thought I would be a jogger. I used to jog 15 kilometers. Who is this woman? So I want to come back to that, see if we can remember. And if we don't,
Make
well,
a
I
note.
kind of have to, make a note. So that was great. And then 2020. 2020 came along, and we all know what happened in 2020. There was, a little bit of a global pandemic.
A little bit.
A little bit of a global pandemic. I started my master's, which then ran remotely. One of my siblings had a major health thing happen. And I started emotionally eating again. So when you have all of that going on, and we were pretty lucky here in Canberra. We are called the bush capital for a reason. As Kim would know, I often, well, not often, but I sometimes send photos of me and the kangaroos I come across on my walks.
It blows my mind. It will never not be exciting to me. Felicity comes into our FAF alumni group and we'll just share just out on her walk, just like I walk in my neighborhood. She's off walking and she's seeing kangaroos. Kangaroos. It's just the rest of us who are in North America and in Europe are just like, this is crazy.
But it's the same for me with deers and
yes.
other things.
And I do think about you sometimes because there's deer are just everywhere where I'm at. And so now when I see deer, I'm like, I need to appreciate the fact that Felicity all the way across the world would be like, that's amazing. It's a deer.
It is. And I can pinpoint the time absolutely when I started emotionally eating again. And
Tell
like,
us.
absolutely. I was in the hospital with my sister, and she was just getting all of these sweets, and I just started eating. It was such a stressful time, and I literally just, not only for her, but what was going on, and my response to it as well. So actually, to be really, I might as well, this does play into it, so I might as well just share. So my nana, we think my mum and my elder sister all had breast cancer and all died from it. And my sister was in hospital after being diagnosed with precancerous cells and was going through treatment and stuff for that. So that was it was just triggering on so many levels in that approach.
Understandably.
Yeah. So and then it was just like people were just making the food that I really love. And normally, like, I can normally say no to other stuff, but this was just, oh my God, my aunt's life. Anyway, that ballooned. Being here, studying, not going out, not, going into work or anything, working remotely when I was working, but being in really stressful situations, being perimenopausal myself, going back to academic study, which I hadn't done since the 1990s. So learning how to do all of that again. Of course, during my studies, finding out that one of the really good things to do when you're going through perimenopause is reduce your stress. And I decided just to pile it on instead, which my menopause doctor had actively encouraged not to do. But, I'm a woman. I can do anything, So there was all of that. And then in 2021, so it started slowly putting it on, but not badly, badly, not too much, managing it. But then in 2021, I got diagnosed with something unusual on one of my ovaries. So ended up having, which thankfully was benign, nothing there, but ended up having my ovaries out and a total hysterectomy. So that then also led to recovering from the surgery, but then the emotions around it, and then going straight into postmenopause, which thankfully I knew what was may happen through my study, but the experience of it is still there.
Yeah.
And eating. And then that's where, of course, immediately seeing the shift of where my weight went. So I never used to hold weight on my belly. So it was always my thighs and my boobs. So, and just seeing that, and it just increased. And I just, sedentary and how to get out of it, and then a few injuries. And it felt like every time I started exercising, I'd get an injury, or there'd be, yeah. So it was kind of like this vortex of it, which I knew that I needed to do something and change. And then had started going and doing weights because I wanted to go bushwalking with friends down in Tasmania, which is, oh my God, so gorgeous. But I'd been in moon boots, I'd had hip flexor, I hadn't done much walking. So I started doing some weights to get that up. Went and did the walks, could hardly walk at some of the end of the walks. But I did it, and that was at that point where I knew that I was ready to start a shift. And that's when I came across you, him. I actually had nowhere. I kind of heard about you a little bit because I'd seen you on posts with Amanda and with Dr. Jen Gunter, who I admire immensely. But then I was, and then I saw your call out for the program, and I went, I admire these people. It's all evidence-based, and I know that's what they focus about. And it was just everything aligned. And I went, this is it. This is what the program I want to do.
And so you were at a point in your life where you were ready for change. You were ready to take some steps, and you actually were starting to take those steps, right? Like being like, oh, I want to go do this walk. How can I go and do that? So you're starting to see this change and you're ready to do it, even though you had a lot to work through, right? With the emotional eating and the injury history and all of these things, you're ready to make the change. You see my program, you join. What was your main goal or two with the program when you joined and you're like, I'm going to do this. What was your hope plan to get out of it?
A way of an approach to food and strength, and that I can use for the rest of my life, and an approach to my physical health for the rest of my life. I like, because the one thing I've missed is along the way I found out that I found out before I went into perimenopause that, or probably was in it, that I was osteopenic. And I am now osteoporotic. So, and as my, and knowing that as postmenopausal, and the importance of actually building up bone health was really critical for me. Knowing that I also, because of, and I've gone and done, from a cardiac health perspective, I need to improve, my health. Knowing that too, from my perspective, and I want to be very clear here, is that everyone's breast cancer is, risk is extremely different. But because of my family, and after going and having genetic counseling with it, just knowing that I need to keep my weight, I need to get my weight down to reduce my breast cancer risk significantly. So, and it was also from a mental health perspective, very important for me to get, I know what it's like in my mental health, with perimenopause and postmenopausal, was a bit everywhere, with just with some of the symptoms I was experiencing. And so it was kind of just that really whole approach to my, what I'm going to say, my own body, mind, well-being, the things that I can control and get that back into control, and having tools that are based on evidence to do it.
Well, you did an amazing job really investing in yourself fully during this program. Took advantage of every possible thing you could in the group and were such a contributor to the Fitter After 40 group, which we all appreciated. And actually, Andrea, my assistant coach, and I were talking about the fact that we see in the women in the program who are the most successful, they are the people who are contributing and doing form checks and sharing, like, here's a struggle I had, or here's a meal I made that was useful. Like that part where they're, sharing their experience with others seems to be such a contributing piece to success. Did you notice that in yourself?
I did. I did. Because it really took me out of myself to be able to post up, and being really vulnerable in doing that. And also then and getting feedback back and then being able to see and learning also from other people's posts as well and different perspectives. And it's such an incredible, wonderful, supportive environment. I love it. Like, honestly, I got so much and I continue to get so much out of it.
And the community aspect, which is interesting, circling back to kind of where we started the discussion with what you're doing and with these menopause cafes, the community aspect of the program is such a huge piece of it for me. It was something that was really missing when I was doing one-on-one coaching with clients. I had clients all over the world and we would talk just the two of us one-on-one. I'd give them their program, they would do it, and they were getting phenomenal results. But what came up a lot that they wanted was a community to do this with. And I could see the value in that, which is one of the main reasons I created this. And it's very impactful to have that social support to see women who you connect with. Maybe their life, there's some that their life situations are super similar, right? They've, have a family history of breast cancer, or they're struggling with osteoporosis, or they're an emotional eater. But there's also women who aren't necessarily anything like you in particular, but just seeing, oh, they struggled with X and here's how they overcame it can really inform how you might approach a particular hurdle.
Absolutely. And I think it's some of those things when it's the difference when you look at someone and you have an idea about what they might be and how they are based on, the reality of what they are and going through. And I love and I, I can't remember exactly what the topic was, but someone mentioned something, and all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I'm struggling with that too, but it hadn't come out of my subconscious, and it was just being able, and it was just clicking something into place, that then going, oh, that makes sense now, and then being able to maybe let it go, or adjust for
That was a
it.
real light bulb for you. I see that happen. I see that happen a lot. So for people who are out there and they're like, okay, so in 8 weeks, she lost over 16 pounds. Like, how, what did she do? Tell everyone what were the behaviors that you were enacting to make that happen?
Putting myself first was a really big one. When I signed up, I don't know if anyone here knows the exchange rates, but it's quite expensive. It was an expensive program for me because of the exchange rate. So one, it was that real commitment. And it was actually going, I really want to do this. I have the space to do it, and making it a priority each day to do it. And continuing that. It took time to invest in it from the outset. And I was really fortunate, I have to say, is that my life was actually, thankfully, quite calm. There wasn't a lot going on, so I could actually do that initially. And so that made a huge difference. It was the behavioral change for me. So when I mean that, it was getting onto the program, listening to the courses, finding out everything, how to set it up so that the programs and tracking the programs work for me. My behavioral change is that I did also do the VIP program with Andrea, and I knew I needed as an additional support to you, Kim. And I knew I needed that because of just to get me off. I just wanted to make this work. So, and I wanted to do everything that I could. And I knew I had this opportunity for these 2 months. And that was brilliant. Then the other behavioral changes is actually being okay. And I initially resisted, the recommendation to weigh myself every day, because previously I didn't have a great relationship with it because I am my weight. I have changed, but now, because now I recognize that weighing myself every day. It's just a number, because now I've done it for over 3 months. I just see that it actually, my weight at a time and a day is not my weight. It's the weight over the period of the time. And I can't remember what you always say, but it's something like, it's, you look at the long term. So not the day to day. And I see the fluctuations in terms of what I've drunk, what I've ate, you know, and then what it is over a couple of days. So I love that.
And what helped you make the shift from, you know, being hesitant around the scale, not feeling good around the scale, to now being what sounds like really relaxed about the number on the scale? What was it that made that shift?
Andrea and you both said something along the way about, it's just a number. It's not who I am as a person, which is important. It's just a number. And actually using it as, oh, it's so not this term, but just using it like a scientific, you know, experiment.
Yeah,
like, and I got to go,
yeah.
And so I got, yep, no, that's exactly right. That works for me. And I think with that approach now, made such a difference.
Yeah, that approach of looking at it as just data, which I'm sure resonated with you as a person, you know, who was getting her master's and was looking at all kinds of data, being able to look at this piece of your life as data you were collecting, not as, you know, an evaluation of who you were or how you did on any particular day. But it's just, this is a data point. And that part you said about zooming out and looking at the big picture is such a missing piece for so many people. And it's something that can take time to get over. And I'm sure you saw this in the group. There were some women who it took longer because they would be really upset if they weighed themselves and the scale was up that day, right? And then so there was this constant conversation of me asking questions about that. And looking at the bigger picture. Okay, so your weight was up today. What is your weight averaged this week compared to 3 weeks ago? And then they would be like, okay, well, oh, yeah, all right. So it's down, right? And it takes time to practice this new approach. But when you get there, it can be so freeing.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the approach that you take, which is asking the question for us to come up with the answers ourselves as a way of doing it, rather than it's a follow this and it'll all work. And it's actually getting behind it and using the evidence and everything around it. And when you don't know the answer to the questions that we ask, you go and find out by someone who's an expert. And that's, for me, again, as a researcher, is huge. Like, this is why I love it. And I think that's also that behavioral change is when, you know, being with someone who, you know, when you lead by example, which makes a huge difference. Huge
well,
difference.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Was there any particular part? So in order to lose weight, you really focused on the amount of calories you were eating. You worked on increasing your protein. You worked on becoming more active in your daily life and on doing the strength training. Was there a part of that that was harder than the others for you?
I'm going to say protein initially. Protein mainly because, and it's that thing about the North America focus, like chat. And I go, and then of course, not having some of the products available here in Australia. Then having to find the time to do my own, like having to find the time to go, oh, okay. So, and I would look at what you guys were talking about and I'd say, oh, okay, well, what would it be here? And then going and finding products that were similar here. And that's great. So now, say with protein powder and a few other things, I've got it. And it's finding things that I really like to increase my protein. Like there's the three ingredient pancakes, cottage cheese pancakes.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love them so much. So they're usually part of my day. And then, so that was really hard for me to convert it. because I had it in my mind that protein, one, I didn't know I needed that much. And number two, I didn't know, you know, I kind of was thinking, how am I going to get it when I'm not a really big meat eater? I don't necessarily like having meat every day. And I would say that took me a while to get sorted. Now I nail my protein every day. Like I'm over.
That's
every
fantastic.
day.
Oh, good for you. So for somebody who's a non-meat eater, tell us a couple of your top protein sources for not too much meat.
Non-meat eater. So non-meat eater, a lot of it is kind of sound like I've gone more into the dairy, which is not great if you know, I know it's not the same if you're a vegan, but there are vegan options as well. Beans as well, predominantly, I get a lot. But I must admit, I am now getting more, you know, protein powder once a day is as much as I try. Maybe twice, depending on what I'm doing. I often will do the cottage cheese thing is incredible. You suggested an amazing oatmeal. What do you call it? Protmeal? The baked oatmeal?
Yeah, there's a baked oatmeal. We call it protmeal. Yep.
Protmeal. I love that. Just lots of high protein yogurt I will have as well. Little things that I make. We have an amazing spice mix here called Mama Meatballs spice mix. So I make that into little meatballs for chicken and things. So yeah, it's just really looking at different ways of doing that. Not sure
Fantastic.
if that's helpful, but I think it is also using, oh, and cottage cheese. Oh God, cottage cheese. I think I just, was it a thing here? Like cottage cheese, like just went so out of fashion here.
That's so interesting. It's having a moment here in the States. Everyone loves it. I've been a long-term lover of cottage cheese. Like ever since I was a kid, I've loved it. And it's really having a moment here in the States.
Yeah. So getting into that again. So that's all good.
Fantastic. So tell us where you're at now with emotional eating. How is that going?
Going good. In the sense, some days I may still choose to eat something that might, you know, from an emotional eating, but I don't overeat, if that makes it emotionally. So I've discovered that bocce, do you have the bocce, the little Italian kisses?
No. So is it chocolate?
It's a chocolate. It's an Italian chocolate called a bocce, which is a kiss. And it's dark chocolate with nuts in it and hazelnut. So I'm going, it's got protein in it.
So what are you doing instead of eating when you have, you know, these emotional moments, when you're having something and you're struggling, when you're sad or worried or stressed? What other strategies are you using now instead of just food?
So getting back into my self-compassion practice
What does
has
that look
been
like?
huge. Doing self, like joining, if I have the time, a daily self-compassion Zoom group through the Center for Mindful Self-Compassion that's out of the US. That's all based on research. If those of you who know or follow anything to do with self-compassion, it's Kristen Neff and Kirsten Neff. And sorry, that's me. I can never remember whether it's Kristen or Kirsten. So sorry if you're listening. And Chris Germer, who are leading in this space in the US. But also following those practices of also going, I'm just human, and this is just a man, you know, and a moment, and you have to be part of self-compassionate, you know. I'm working through to about what sets me up for a really good day, so that's, you know, the ups and downs are less likely to happen. And that's get up, throw the ball with my dog, do the weights, do the weight programming if it's a weight day, and then have breakfast and then go for a long, gentle walk, something like that. That sets me up. I find that the more I, and that's where, and then eating the right food, all of that makes a difference. You know, it's one of the things that I find, like, I love coffee, but if now if I have too much coffee, which could just be another coffee, like two coffee, I get too anxious. So that's what I do. But it's also go and, I'm lucky, my dog, you know, just go and pat and play with the dog, you know, if I feel like that.
Yeah. I love all
but
of
it
that.
Still happens. Still happens, but.
But that's a good toolbox you have there for you. You have a bunch of different things there, from something as, you know, quick and accessible as petting your dog to something that's going to take more time, like joining your Zoom group and to specifically work on the self-compassion, to things that are more like daily habits, like doing those four things or so that you mentioned to set yourself up for, you know, a less likelihood of being anxious and overstressed. So that's a fantastic toolbox you have to help with this now.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, which is only now that we're talking about it, which I love these realizations. So I think, well, one of the reasons why I did so well is pretty well always pre-logging my next day. And I find, which made a difference, because that, like, I'm sorry for those who haven't been through the program, it's pre-logging what I'm going to eat and drink the next day, if
Yes.
it has a calorie and protein element of it, because that reduced some of the anxiety of the stress of it. And I've really noticed that what's happened since finishing Fitter After 40, having to, where my mindset's changed. And if I'm feeling a little bit off kilter, it's often that I haven't been pre-logging. So coming back into that.
That is a strategy that my most successful clients across the board use, that pre-logging. And I will say there are a lot of people who feel a lot of friction with that in the beginning, because it feels like, well, that could take a lot of time and effort. And in the beginning, literally like anything else a person does for the first time, it does take more time and effort. Even then, we're talking minutes a day, not hours a day, right? But it does feel like a task. And one of the things I have everybody do at the beginning of Fitter After 40, when they get the appropriate knowledge from me, is I say, like, you know, go ahead and set yourself up like one perfect day. What would it look like to practice like pre-logging food? And that can take a bit of time. But And I'm sure you can attest to this, once you've been pre-logging for a bit, it's fast. It's fast and it's easy, and it really does set you up for success.
Oh, yeah, and it does. And it does take time. For me, it took me time. And that's okay, because it has been, oh, definitely, the dividends have paid off. And I think it's looking at all of that and exploring what works for me and using it in a way. And in the last month, I've just kind of go, I don't want to pre-log my last meal. And then having, I was chatting with and Andrea about it, and I should actually post it up in SAS. And I go, like, what's the resistance? And it's kind of, and then before she'd even responded, I'm going, like, yeah, but Felicity, my self-talk, yes, but Felicity, it's actually makes it easier than to work out what you can and can't do for the rest of the day, even if I change it. And that's exactly what she came back and said, which I loved. So it's the thing of, which I love, it's the using it, but not being restricted by it. I think it's, you always say, find a way for it to work for you and to work for your lifestyle. So, and everyone's life and everyone's lifestyle is different. And that's what I've seen you do time and time again with the people in the group about how to make that happen. And you've done it with me multiple times, whether it's explicitly with me asking a question or me just looking at how you've responded to another person's question, and then how do I respond to that?
Yeah,
in
it's
my
really
own mind.
An important piece of becoming a person who eats in a way to support, you know, a lower body weight than they are right now, right, is learning what actually is going to fit long-term in your life. And it's not necessarily like, you know, somebody's 10-point checklist they could just give you like in a quick one-off kind of program, like do these, you know, 7 to 10 things, right? Well, maybe those things don't work in your life. And so part of the work that we do in Fitter After 40 is figuring out for this individual, not just society as a whole, but this individual, what works for them and what doesn't. in terms of following evidence-based principles. Like, it still has to come back to, if weight loss is the goal, we have to get you in a calorie deficit. We need to get your protein up. We need to get you moving and help you strength train. So those are things we need to help you do, but how we actually help you do them is going to be highly, dependent on your particular life circumstances.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, everyone opens up, if, you know, people open up and share, that's what we all learn from, I think, too. And this is coming back to that, you know, just growing that really supportive, you know, community. I want to say, but it's also a culture. And it's a culture of, this is support, we're all unique. And yeah, I got so much from that. And it also goes, I know we haven't spoken too much about the workouts, but it also goes for the workouts too.
Well, tell us a bit about your experience with the workouts, because I will say, you really, again, you just went wholeheartedly into figuring out how to do this in your life. So tell us about your experience with the workouts and where you're at with them now.
So I have chosen to do it from home. Which I'm saying is, I want to say it's hilarious, but it's hilarious in a good way, because it's meant that I've had to go and I'm really glad that I have, because it's, for me, it's taken that ownership of how to build up what I need at home so that I can do it every day. I have no excuse not to do it every day. You know?
It's right there.
And it's just right there, you know, and it's getting everything that I need, how to adjust it, how to, and because it's just there and working out what I needed, that was like, it sounds strange. Well, maybe it's not strange. That just was it. And I think because I'd already had a culture of working out, I already knew the difference. I knew that I wanted to keep my body stronger. I think, if anything, and being committed to doing it every day and having it as a routine makes such a difference. Again, here in Australia, I so want to be in the US sometimes, because, you know, you guys have things so much cheaper than here, or you have more diversity than what we have. So sometimes it's been a bit of Facebook Marketplace to get some of the equipment. So I was super excited that I got a chin-up bar for nothing, you know, on Facebook Market. But it's also sometimes doing deals and having to wait for things to come, you know, rather. And that I love, because that means that I've got more, again, for me, more engagement when they come and more buy-in for using them. So, and it's the thing of most days, you know, being able to go at it 100%. Some days not being able to, for a variety of reasons, and that's okay. And just, you know, going and doing what I can. Kim, your explanations, your videos, gosh, they make such a difference. Going back and checking and rechecking, and then thinking you're still following it, and then posting a form checkup on the site and go like, oops, nope, still haven't got it.
You take the form feedback really well and practice it, and then you get better. And it sounds like a couple of things have really clicked in place here for you. One, really reducing the friction to just get started and make this like a part of your regular practice. And so having that set up in your home, and then really having that buy-in from yourself of like, I've invested time and money in doing this. And so you feel like, okay, like I'm going to do this. And then also getting confidence by doing the form checks and watching the videos, so that you're like, okay, I actually know what I'm doing. So who doesn't feel more motivated to do something that they feel competent in actually doing?
Yeah. And I think there's those little, absolutely, yes, to all of that. And what I really love too is the thing of, just being surprised about how much weight I can use. I think that's always such a surprise. And about how it is just that growth. I think it is. For me, I'm just treating it like that growth and that strength. I don't know, come back and ask me this question. Maybe, it, you know, I want to say at the end of the year, but that's not that far away. mid-next year. Because it is, it's just such that I'm just, it's a growth journey. And that's what it is. I'm continuing to growing and evolve and doing things. So I've just started doing a new program. I'm doing the Fierce program. So this week's all around about learning the new exercises, getting the equipment in. If those where I don't have it, going really gently, so mm-hmm. not expecting much to change. And then next week we'll add weights, you know, if I haven't already, and then I'll start doing form checks with you, because the form check is just so valuable.
I love that. For those who are like, wait, what does she mean, new program called Fierce? So the Fitter After 40 program comes with a workout. It's a 6-week training program. Some people use it 6 weeks, some people use it 8 weeks, some people go, you know, even a little longer as they're getting things situated. And then when they come into the alumni group, there are other workouts waiting there for them. I create a new workout every month in that group, but I specifically have two workouts I have made and designed specifically for those who have just finished Fitter After 40. There's Fierce Forever Phase 1 and Fierce Forever Phase 2 that build on each other and build on the Fitter After 40 workouts. And so Felicity has moved on to doing Fierce Forever 1 and is getting set up to be really successful in that workout. I'm excited to watch the progress you make there. What are your main fitness goals now?
I want to do bouldering.
Bouldering. Wow.
I know.
Very exciting.
I know. And I have, yeah. So that's something I want to do. So I, yeah, just need to get the strength up to do it. I need to.
So we're going to keep working on that upper body strength.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's one of it. So my goals are just to, my overarching goals are really to reduce the risks, my health risks, you know, is a really big one for me. And continuing, and then I know that the program that we're doing is going to help me do that. And then one of the things what I'd love to do is I really want to do bouldering. I just, you know, I would love to maybe go back doing some jogging again. I need to work through a couple of foot issues on that to see whether that's really going to be practical. But you know, when I said I wanted to come back to that,
yes.
It's been raining a lot here. And I took my dog out for a walk and we started getting caught in the rain. So we jogged back. I jogged for the first time in ages. And I got back here and I wasn't even puffing. I went, oh my God, that's amazing.
I can tell by the sound in your voice that that just felt so good. And that you were so proud of yourself. And it sounds like maybe a little shocked.
Oh, totally. I think my dog was shocked too.
That's a great kind of shock to see, like, wow. In the same way, I could hear it in your voice when you were just so surprised about each week, you can see how much you can lift. And I love that for you. When you see how strong you are, it's fantastic. What a great feeling.
And that's it. It's like, yeah, it's nice to see some changes in my body. It's nice to see the clothes fit in differently. I'm getting more excited out about what I'm laughing about sometimes in the early days, the easiest things, you know, to see the change in was actually, you know, cheek bones and maybe a bit of collarbone and my calves getting smaller, so you can't really measure them so well.
Yeah.
But it's more that flexibility. It's more that stretch. It's more the, you know, the ease of doing life on a database. It's more about the fact that, you know, I shoveled nearly seven, mostly by myself, 7 cubic meters of soil, you know, in places, you know, because of I got too much. But it's been able to do that. And like, I wouldn't have been able to do that 6 months ago.
Wow. We're going to leave it here because that is a fantastic note to end on. I love hearing you say that one of the biggest things that you have gained from all of this is the ease of life, like that you have, that this has made your life easier. And that is just phenomenal. You have done that. And I could not be prouder of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. Are you crying? I did not mean to make you cry.
Yeah, I am a little bit, but thank you, because that's really true. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks again for sharing your time and your wisdom and being so vulnerable. It's going to help a lot of other women to see what is possible for them.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for everything. Awesome. Appreciate it.